Thank you for joining us again on another program of Battle for Truth. This is Shahram Haidian. And folks, we're going to jump into our program quickly tonight because this is part three of a message that I've been doing called The Iran Delusion. The program is to expose the threat that Iran poses around the world, a threat that's going to be magnified with now a Biden administration and with a left that is embracing Iran and embracing the nuclear deal and embracing the connection that they have to the globalist agenda. So again, the Iran delusion, lifting the veil up on Iran's threat to the world. So for those of you who are just joining us, my background, I'm originally from Iran. I'm a former Muslim, became a Christian, and I'm a pastor. But I travel across the country and I speak to patriots, conservatives, and Christians all the time. And we want Battle for Truth TV to be a voice for the resistance movement, a voice to resist tyranny, and to have to help join all liberty-loving, freedom-loving patriots, conservatives, and Christians to fight the cause of liberty. And I'm trying to make the connection based on my backstory of watching Iran, watching a coup, watching a revolution, losing freedoms in Iran, and how that applies today in America, and how we can learn from the story of my birth country, and also why Iran is an existential threat. The government, not the people, but the government of Iran is an existential threat to the world moving forward, and especially now with the illegitimacy of the American government and the fact that we know, and I'll show you here some evidence tonight, that Iran was very likely interfering with the elections in 2020. They were part of the interference, the foreign interference. They are part of this coup to take down America. They take down America. They take down the greatest ally of Israel. Their goal is ultimately to attack Israel and the Jewish people. We know this from not only geopolitical sources and information, but we also know this from biblical sources and information and prophecy in the Bible that talks about the fact that Iran will join Russia and will join Turkey and some other nations and form a coalition that will then try to come and destroy Israel and the Jewish people. And what better way than to have America, the strongest ally of Israel, taken out of the way? That's why I support the right of the Jewish people to defend themselves. I support the right of the Jewish people to the land of Israel, that I am proudly a biblical Zionist, not a global Zionist, which is very different, the globalist agenda, the Jewish global cabal that is part of the New World Order. No, I don't support that, but I do support legitimate Jews and their right to the land of Israel, to the land that is there. So this program, we're going to stand and we're going to expose these things. And so we're going to jump in. And on the last program, this is part three, by the way, of this series. On the last program, when I was covering the makeup of the Iranian, or I should say the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, which is called the IRGC, which is the main military force of the Islamic Revolution that supports the Al-Quds Force, which is the overseas arm of the IRGC and the Iranian regime, that is trying to liberate Jerusalem from the hands of the Jews. That's their number one purpose, again, to wipe the Jews off the face of the planet, to annihilate the Jewish people, and to liberate Jerusalem, what they believe is Palestinian land. And also, the IRGC supports Hezbollah, and the Iranian regime supports Hezbollah. Some say Hezbollah, which is based out of Lebanon, is a proxy. I would say Hezbollah is run by the Iranian government, the Iranian regime, and by the IRGC specifically. Now, I want to show you the leadership of the IRGC here on the screen. This is the senior leadership that we have to be aware of. And anybody that is focused on national security should be being made aware of the senior leadership of the IRGC. Now, Qasem Soleimani, who I'll talk about in a minute, who was taken out by President Trump in 2020, he is the head of the Quds Force. So his number one purpose in life was to liberate Jerusalem from the Jews, supposedly, and give it to the Palestinians and to the Muslims. But the current head of the IRGC, Commander-in-Chief, is Major General Hossein Salami. And Salami is, a hardcore, he is a diehard revolutionary. He vehemently must support the Supreme Leader, Khomeini, and the Guardian Council. Then you have the Commodore, second-in-command, Ali Fadavi. You have the Brigadier General that is of the ground force. They actually have a ground force, the IRGC does, called Brigadier General Mohammed Pakpour. Then they have an aerospace force, or their air force, that is Brigadier General Amir Ali Hajizadeh. Now remember, this is not even their regular artesh, the word for army. This is the elite army, the elite military force of the Iranian regime, and the danger they pose because they have their tentacles all around the world. You have then Commodore Ali Reza Tangsiri. He is the commander of the Navy of the Revolutionary Guard. And then you have the Basij force that I already mentioned. They're basically their militia that is also their morality police, Brigadier General Ghulam Hossein Ghaib Parvar. And then finally, the current replacement to Soleimani, Brigadier General Ismail Ghani, who took over the Quds force. So speaking of Soleimani, why did Trump take out Soleimani? And who was he? Again, as I mentioned, he was the commander of the Quds force. The Quds force is the Jerusalem force you see on the screen here. And I believe that there was intel, because what I've read is that the sources say that both Pompeo and the Joint Chiefs wanted Trump to take out Soleimani much sooner. They had intel of where he was going to be, because as you know, or may know, Soleimani was heavily guarded. And as he constantly was moving around, it was very hard to pinpoint his locations. There was always sightings, but there was always possibility of, you know, it's not him, it's a double. This is very routine in this sort of cybersecurity and paramilitary or military security, where in key leadership that are targets, you have body doubles. So Trump had resisted taking out Soleimani because he didn't want to, you know, necessitate a possibility of starting a war with Iran unnecessarily. Until, I believe, there was some intel with regards to Baghdad. Because if you remember, Soleimani was in Baghdad, and some of the intel that I got from reliable sources in Iran was that Soleimani and the Iranian regime was possibly planning on taking the embassy, the American embassy in Baghdad, over, which means that this could have been a repeat of the 1979 hostage crisis, where they took 52 American hostages and held them. There was more than that initially, and then it was 52 after they released some, and Khomeini held them hostage for 444 days, and the passive Jimmy Carter could do nothing. The Iranians didn't respect him until Ronald Reagan came into power. And if you remember, I read to you a very unknown quote from a businessman, a 34-year-old businessman from New York, who was very much moved by the embarrassment that the hostage crisis caused to America, how the Iranian government was constantly mocking America. You can do nothing. They would parade the hostages before the cameras. This was absolutely terrible optics. And that 34-year-old was Donald J. Trump. And this formed his, this was believed to be, back in 1980, his first known statement on foreign policy, which then really formed his foreign policy worldview, which affected him. And so when he took Soleimani out, I shared this in a previous program, He actually tweeted that we attacked 52 sites in taking out, you know, and going after Soleimani in Iran for the 52 hostages that were held years ago. So this was a warning shot that don't mess with America. Trump stood in strength. That's why the Iranians weren't able to retaliate for Soleimani, which concerns me because I believe that now we are primed for a retaliation from Iran now under a weak, useless, illegitimate Biden-Harris administration being puppets of China. So I believe that Trump did not want a repeat of the 1979 Iranian embassy takeover, the U.S. embassy in Iran, and therefore he decided to take out Soleimani with a drone strike in Baghdad January 4th of 2020 to send a clear message to Iran, don't go down this trail again. Now, let me veer off into the realm of our elections, because as I covered in part two and then the part one of this series, I shared with you how Iran has not seen a free election in 42 years, not only because of fraud, but because of the makeup of their government, the Guardian Council deciding the manner of elections, the integrity of elections, the candidates and who can run, who cannot run, and whether they accept the results of an election. Everything is rigged from the very beginning. Just like we've seen in America, every election now is going to be rigged unless this entire system is dismantled, because you have, you know, executives, the governor or the secretary of state or the Supreme Courts in states making decisions, usurping the authority of the state legislatures and setting the manner, time and shape of elections. And therefore, there's no credibility, there's no accountability, there's no oversight. They're arbitrarily making decisions like they did with this whole COVID debacle, and why they were allowed to have millions and millions of absentee ballots sent out, which then was absolutely rife for fraud, because we know how the ballots were stuffed. We know that once the algorithms were changed and votes were stolen from Trump, that they had to backfill those algorithms and those vote changes with these fake ballots. And they were bringing in hundreds of thousands of fake ballots, where, like in Pennsylvania, you had 1.8 million absentee ballots sent out and 2.5 million approximately were received back. How does that happen, folks? This is a joke. Our elections are now a joke. Our nation is a joke. How do we engage the system if we can't trust elections? So I shared with you earlier that I believe that there's evidence that Iran was clearly involved. Now, there's evidence based on that Brandon House here at Worldview Weekend has broken on a show previously that showed the actual longitude and latitudes of where votes were being stolen and countries that they were bouncing off of. And reporting by Mary Fanning and Alan Jones showed that Iran was clearly involved. Now, Sidney Powell had brought out evidence of certain individuals who were connected to Venezuela, who were connected to Dominion, the software that counts the or the machines that count the votes. And of course, on Worldview Weekend, reporting showed that they were using a CIA software called Hammer with a app that basically created the algorithm called Scorecard. But here you see in the picture, President of Iran Rouhani to the left, meeting with Vladimir Putin and with Maduro from Venezuela. So what is that connection? Well, we have known for years that Iran has been working with Venezuela, going back to Chavez and then now Maduro, in bringing assets, including Hezbollah assets, meaning jihadist terrorist assets, into Venezuela, bringing them up into Mexico and across the U.S. border, you know, that is porous. Now, thanks to Trump, they've built the walls, and all that's going to be undone by Biden. And so is there direct evidence? The Maduro regime would not be in power today if it were not for the support it receives from its five key allies. Now, remember, the machines, the whole software for Dominion was written by Venezuela for Hugo Chavez to cheat in Venezuela, which then was given to Maduro to cheat in his elections and turn Venezuela into a socialist third world country when it was at one point the richest Central American country, obviously in the region. The key allies, Russia, China, Cuba, Iran, and Turkey. Now, I already told you the alliance that Russia, Iran, and Turkey pose. We know that according to Secretary Pompeo before the inauguration of January 20, 2021, that China, communist China, was already within our borders, he said. And there's no doubt that Biden is their puppet. These states provide varying degrees of financial, diplomatic, and intelligence support to the Venezuelan regime. Some of these states have maintained close ties with Venezuela since the early days of Hugo Chavez and his presidency. Others have emerged as new lifelines amid mounting international pressure. Russia, China, Cuba, Iran, and Turkey each have distinct financial and geopolitical motivations for propping up the Maduro regime, namely being in close proximity to the United States, having access through the borders of the porous borders of Mexico, and being able to either cyber attack United States, attack our grid system, or even launch their cells, their sleeper cells, which we know that there are dozens and dozens of Hezbollah sleeper cells, which are directly run by Iran. This is why Iran poses such an existential threat, both to America, and they want to destroy America and bring it down, but also to Israel. Now, here is Lou Dobbs and Sidney Powell. Sidney Powell reveals groundbreaking new evidence indicating that our presidential election came under massive cyber attack orchestrated with the help of Dominion, Smartmatic, and foreign adversaries, right? Well, four names that she brought out publicly on Lou Dobbs are very interesting. Jorge Rodriguez, the former Minister of Communications for Venezuela, Gustavo Reyes Zumeta, who's a programmer, Antonio Mujica, Smartmatic CEO, and then here's a gentleman, an Iranian that has very little social media footprint, which means that very likely he's an agent of the Iranian government, and very likely the deep state knows about him, Khalil Majid Majzoub. Now, this is a individual that I believe is the front, here it says the Rodriguez frontman for Jorge Rodriguez. But the thing is that I believe that this individual, Majzoub, has connections to the Iranian government, is potentially being funded by the Iranian government, and therefore it is direct evidence of the Iranian government's involvement in the foreign interference to our elections in 2020. Now, why was none of this investigated by the courts, by the state legislatures, by the Congress, by Trump, by Pence, I should say? Where was the DNI report that we were waiting for? Ratcliffe's report of foreign interference? We never saw it, and we're probably never going to see it. It's not, unless, Trump had declassified that stuff before he left office, we're never going to see it. This is all going to be buried under this rogue, illegitimate regime now in America. Again, I've said to you before, I'm going to say it again. There's no way that I recognize Joe Biden and Kamala Harris as president and vice president of the United States. They are a illegitimate, treasonous regime. They are illegitimate, folks. This is not our president and vice president. Do I have respect for the office of president? Sure. Will I pray for their souls? Sure. But I will not recognize them or call them president and vice president. Absolutely not. They are illegitimate, and they are seeking to destroy this nation. And Iran has a footprint. Now, Soleimani, who you see on the right there, who is with Salimi on the left, again, General Hussein Salimi, they are warmongering. They are what we call saddle or what is the term? Forgive me. Saber rattling. They are saber rattling to try to show now with the Biden administration that, you know, they know he's a puppet of China. They know he's you know, a shell. Someone else is running the show. More than likely from D.C., it's Obama that is running the deep state out of the skiff in his house, the secure facility for information sharing, for congressional and cyber information sharing that they share. He's got one in his house in D.C. But who is running Obama? Who is the deep state, the globalist deep state behind Obama? That's the question, isn't it? And so Iran is a part of this equation, folks. Iran is a part of the globalist agenda to undermine security around the world, ultimately lead to a hatred of the Jewish people, ultimately lead to a rise of an Antichrist system that then will come against the Jewish people and will come against America. If America survives, will America survive this? Will America, you know, are we heading towards a hot civil war, as General two-star General Paul Valley has said in recent weeks? And what are patriots going to do? So here's a quote. The recent war games show the enemies, the Iranian nation will defend its independence and territorial integrity, says the Revolutionary Guard Commander Hussein Salami. Our fingers are on the trigger on behalf of this nation. Now you go, well, what war games? Let me give you some headlines here. Number one, and I'm going to get to some of these here. I have some on the screen, but for example, here is being reported, Iran test fires anti-ship ballistic missiles in third military exercise, January 16, 2021. A video released by Iran State TV on Saturday, January 16, showed missiles of various classes targeting enemy's battleships and destroying them from 1,800 kilometers away. The missiles were fired from central Iran at targets in the northern Indian Ocean, said the Revolutionary Guard, which conducted the drill. Its third military exercise in 2 weeks. A full array of top Iranian generals watched the drill, including Chief of Staff Major General Mohammad Bagheri, Guards Chief Major General Hussein Salami, who's you see in the picture here, and the Aerospace Commander Haji Zadeh. General Bagheri said that the use of long-range missiles for maritime targets indicates that if the enemies show any ill will, maritime trade routes and territory will be targeted and destroyed by our missiles. So they're threatening the Strait of Hormuz, they're threatening the Persian Gulf, and potentially, folks, they're threatening, going back to 2011, Obama, when they overthrew Egypt and they helped overthrow Mubarak, they were talking about that they were going to have Iranian warships come into the Suez Canal and park off the coast of Tel Aviv, which then they would have had direct missile sight and destroying Jerusalem and destroying Tel Aviv. Well, that's back on the table now under a Biden administration. All of this stuff is back on the table. This is why, look at this headline again. Weary of Biden tack on Iran, Israelis are revisiting the military options, newspaper says. Israel is revisiting military options for possible clash with Iran, an Israeli newspaper said. This is dated January 14, 2021. Reported on Thursday as Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's government braces for differences with the incoming U.S. administration on Iranian nuclear policy. Well, maybe they should have backed Trump instead of congratulating Biden so quickly. U.S. President Donald Trump delighted Netanyahu by quitting the 2015 nuclear deal with Iran and reimposing sanctions on it that have been lifted in return for limits on activities that could potentially produce nuclear weapons in the future. Tehran responded by breaching many of those restrictions. And Biden wants to rejoin the nuclear deal if Tehran, which denies seeking the bomb, supposedly, I told you, they're going to get a nuclear weapon, returns to strict compliance. They will not, of course, return to strict compliance. It's a joke, folks. The nuclear deal is a joke. It's a farce. Israel, alarmed by Iranian rhetoric that it is a state that should not exist, is wary of the softer line, even though threats of U.S. military action from Trump did not curtail Iran's nuclear moves. Sure it did. It made huge deals. This is coming from Reuters, I believe. It made huge deals. They backed off. Yes, they were trying to do it, but between that and the potential Mossad moves to take out top Iranian scientists, we'll talk about in our next program, I think it had some huge impact. But the worst thing that America could do is re-enter the nuclear deal. Of course, that's what Biden is already saying he's going to do. So again, we see, here's another headline for you. Iran fires long-range missiles into Indian Ocean in military drill. So this is, again, the same thing. So you're seeing an escalation now, already an escalation of Iranian activity, because they know that weak Biden and puppet Biden is going to do nothing. Folks, if anything I've tried to show you is that they respond to strength. Here's a map showing the fact that Iran shot down an RQ-4A Global Hawk drone. Now, the United States claims that this was in international space. Iran claims it's in Iranian space. So these actions by the Iranian government are declarations of potentially war. And so could we be headed towards a war with Iran? Under a, you know, all the threats of the left was that Trump was going to lead us into war with Iran. But what if it's the opposite? What if it's Biden and Kamala that will lead us into war with Iran if they don't do Iran's biddings? And so I'm going to talk about other headlines, like who Biden nominated as a top State Department post. Folks, Iran is dangerous, folks. Iran is ramping up their rhetoric. They are, you know, we have to expose this delusion that the mullahs in Iran can be trusted, that they want peace and they want to be able to get along and be a part of the international community. Again, the battle lines are being drawn for a global war that is going to include Iran, Russia, and Turkey, and possibly China. But for sure, you see this red-green axis again forming an alliance. And now they have America right where they want us, wounded, bloodied, divided, corrupt. I mean, corrupt as corrupt can be. This is now a banana republic, folks, if we, the patriots, don't stand up. So thank you for joining us here on Battle for Truth TV. We are the voice of the resistance movement. We're going to resist tyranny at every turn, folks. Let your life be a resistance to tyranny now. And we're going to be a source for all liberty-loving, freedom-loving patriots, conservatives, and Christians. Please go to our website, tilproject.com, subscribe, join our text alert, and please donate to this cause. Help us to keep getting these messages out. This is Pastor Shahram Hadian. We'll see you next time.